Let's be encouraged by the word of God and then prime our hearts for the Lord's table to come. And so you have, you have your Bibles. And a title of this afternoon's message, which actually is a form of a question, but did Jesus ever desire anything for himself? Did Jesus ever desire anything for himself? Again, the context is himself personally, okay? I get it. Obviously, you know, Jesus loves us and desires people to get saved. Obviously, there's no doubt there. Obviously, Jesus desired to do the will of his Father, right? Even though in the garden he prayed, if it be possible, let this cup pass from him. And so maybe something that Jesus didn't want, per se. And obviously, Jesus desires us to obey him. But as far as something that Jesus desired for himself personally, this verse, I thought, it's quite remarkable. So let's go to Luke chapter 22. And so, did Jesus ever desire anything for himself personally? And so let's go to Luke chapter 22 and verse 15. We'll read that and then we'll have a word of prayer. So Luke chapter 22. And then let's go to verse 15. This, of course, is leading up to his instituting the Lord's table, observing at that time before the Passover with the disciples. And notice what the Lord Jesus Christ says, sharing his heart to his apostles. And verse 15 says, "And he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." Let us pray. Abba, Father, what a wonderful thought, Lord, as we reflect on your word, the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, and our blessed Savior, Father, and we're so thankful for the gift of Jesus Christ. We're so thankful for your love to us and that you saved us even in our sin, Lord, and Father, when we don't deserve it. And so, Lord, we're so thankful that you redeemed us and you restored us. You healed us, and Father, that you have adopted us forever into your family. And so, Father, we love you. We thank you so much for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so, Father, as we read even your word this afternoon, may our hearts truly be blessed, Lord, and may we truly be reminded of how much you love us. And we ask you, bless this time in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. I don't intend for this to be a hyperbole, okay, or sound like an exaggeration. But again, just taking it at face value, okay? As God's inspired, preserved word, even the words of Jesus Christ himself, as this quotes him. And again, I could be mistaken, I could be wrong, okay? But as far as I have looked I kind of got me thinking, if this was a video, I'll probably see. Let me know in the comments below what but the idea is, you know, as far as I can tell, this verse appears to be the only time, okay, I think, let me just put a little asterisk there, I think the only time in Scripture where Jesus actually said he wanted something, okay, from that standpoint. Again, we know his heart, he wants people to get saved, he wants to obey God, you know, he wants to do the will of the Father, I get that. But as far as a personal want that Jesus is expressing, okay, oftentimes, in fact, pretty much every other time, it was people coming to Jesus to help, to have him fulfill their asks, right? Their desires, their prayers, their needs, maybe sometimes wants, okay? And so Jesus kept being tapped all the time to fulfill other people's desires. And this is the one time I believe that, again, I think so, okay? As I read and study the scriptures that Jesus outwardly says, and certainly he might have thought other things, but he kept it to himself, but the one time he actually says it, that he wants something, okay? Number one, I want us to observe in just one verse. Number one, the one thing that Jesus desired for himself. And notice it's pretty amazing because perhaps in all of Scripture, you know, Jesus never said he desired anything. And then the one time he does say he desires something, he uses the word twice. He desires, okay, so he really wants something. You know, he never said anything before, but now he desires something. He uses the word desires twice. So, you know, he really, really wants it. But look at verse 15 and look at what he's saying. And he said unto them, so he's speaking to his disciples, his apostles, with desire, that is present tense, I have desired, past tense. Meaning, this is not something that he just kind of off a whim. Oh, yeah, hey, I think this is a good idea for us to... No, I mean, he's always wanted it. The idea is he's desired this. It's always been in his heart, but wasn't the right time, you know, whatever the case is. But he's always desired this, and now he's so thankful and blessed to fulfill that desire. Okay, so he's got the present desire that fulfills the desire that he's always desired. Okay, the past tense and the present tense. And so that's pretty amazing. And I kind of think of maybe like, well... If anything, maybe the desire just grew over time, right? And like, I don't know, like a bride and groom, right? They're going to get married. They want to get married, okay? But every day that you're not married, they're like, ugh, I really, really wanted to happen. And then finally, the big day happens, and they go through the ceremony. They praise God, and then, you know, the preacher says, you may kiss your bride, you know, and it's a wonderful thing. And so with desire, they have desired... to get married, right? That's the context of we wanted it to happen. Now it finally happened. And so that's a joy. So I want us to understand just how happy Jesus is to do this, okay? The one thing Jesus desired for himself. And go with me to Proverbs chapter 13, because perhaps sometimes we desire some things like Jesus did, and it doesn't quite happen yet. So let's go to Proverbs chapter 13, and then verse 12. Now, what's amazing about this is, of course, it's the principle of God's truth. And so this is kind of how things happen. And Proverbs 13, verse 12, and certainly I'm sure we can all kind of agree whenever things like this happens to us. Proverbs 13, verse 12, and the Word of God says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. So you want something, but it hasn't come yet. even the most childish things, you know, I would... I remember growing up, I liked watching the Transformers cartoon, you know. And after it was done, I'm like, oh, I got to wait a whole week to catch it next week. And I tell my kids, you kids don't know how spoiled you are getting. You can binge the whole season. Anyway, back in my day, we had to wait. Okay. And then if I missed it, I never saw it again, never. It was gone from this existence. I could never catch up, okay? The idea is we want something really bad, you know, and... is it my birthday yet? No. Another 11 more months, you know. So hope deferred maketh the heart sick. So you feel discouraged. You feel yuck. I mean, that's the idea. You want something, but you can't get it. But when the desire cometh. So you've always desired it. And now that desired is present. Present tense. You can desire it. It is a tree of life. And the idea is something that you really, really want. It's like a dormant seed just sitting there. And you can yell at it. you can talk to it. It's not going to grow. It just sits there. Next week, you look at it. Oh, still there. Nothing. No change. Okay. But when it finally happens, when it finally hits, it is a tree of life. I mean, boom. Okay. And so I share this. Because I believe, as Jesus said, with desire, he has desired. And so he really, really wants this, and he's so blessed, like a tree of life, because it certainly applies to him, what he's going to be doing now. Okay, so observe number one, the one thing that Jesus desired for himself. With desire, I have desired. Number two, observe the unique thing that Jesus desired for himself. So the one thing he desired for himself... But number two, the unique thing that Jesus desired for himself, out of everything that can be desired, out of anything that Jesus may say that he wanted, what did he want? Fellowship. Fellowship. This is kind of a mind-blowing thing. Jesus says, with desire, I have desired what? To eat. This Passover, they had already set it up. He sent his disciples ahead of time. Peter and John, they already set it up. So eat this Passover. And Jesus has eaten the Passover, you know, his whole life growing up. I mean, so this is not the first time, okay? He's observed the Passover feast as the Jewish men are to do, according to the ceremonial law and the feast. I mean, he's done this his whole life. But this time, he wants to do it with them. I mean, this is huge. Not just on what he is doing, but Jesus wants to do it with them. This is what he has desired for a long time coming, to eat this Passover with you. He desires fellowship. Now we know this is the last meal, okay? We get that. But this, he desired the fellowship. And now get this. This desire for fellowship that Jesus had for his apostles doesn't end with them. It extends to us. Okay, hang on. I'm sharing this because I want us to really understand that when we are saved, we have an eternal relationship with God the Father. That's, praise God, hallelujah. Once saved, always saved. Okay, child of God forever. But it's not just a relationship that God gives us. God desires fellowship. Fellowship. You can use, for the most part, any parent-child, example. He's glad to have a kid. That's great. But it's extra special when you have close fellowship with your child, right? I mean, that's wonderful. Every parent would love that from their child, to have not just the relationship that's there no matter what, but that fellowship. And this is what Jesus desired, and it extends not just to the apostles, but down through the ages, to the Holy Spirit of God, to you and I. Let's go to John chapter 17. I want us to see this. John 17, verse 20. John 17, verse 20. John chapter 17, verse 20, and Jesus is praying. He's praying to the Father. But notice what he says. Neither pray I for these alone, his apostles, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. This is a much larger group. And this is everyone else that gets saved, okay? And so Jesus is praying for everyone else that will ever get saved. You and I, if you're saved, he's prayed for you. For what? That they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee. Now, Jesus Christ did not just have a relationship with God the Father. He also had fellowship. Huge. It's both. It's not just one. It's both. And this is his prayer for us. That they also, all of us, may be one in us, have the relationship that's eternal and the fellowship, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. Did you catch that, friends? It's a glorious thing to have fellowship with God, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they, all of us believers, may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. That's amazing. God loves us like he loved Jesus. I mean, wow. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, and we will, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. That's huge. Not just relationship, but fellowship. As close as Jesus was to God when he would pray all night to the Father, that's the privilege that we can enjoy. Now, we ought to take advantage of it. But this is what God desires, okay? Fellowship. Out of all things that Jesus could desire, he says he desires fellowship with them. God saved us for fellowship. Listen to this. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. Don't miss this truth kind of tucked in here in the first chapter of Corinthians, chapter 1. Let's go to verse 9. 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 9. Look at this. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. God saved us not to just shelve us. God saved us not even to be a child that he rarely talks to. God saves us so we can have fellowship with him. Near and dear. This is how God desires it. He desires fellowship with you and I. Praise the Lord. In fact, he is faithful to even preserve this fellowship so that even when I sin and mar it, if I confess my sins, He is faithful and just to forgive me of my sins, to cleanse me of all unrighteousness that has strained that fellowship. This is a big deal. In fact, this desire for fellowship wasn't just to the apostles. Well, yes, the apostles, but even extended to Judas Iscariot. Don't miss this. Let's go to Luke 22 where we started. Let's go back to Luke 22. In fact, this is God's desire for every lost person. Before you and I were saved, God desired us to be saved so that we can have fellowship, even when I was an enemy of God. Okay, so this is the proof is right here. Let's go to Luke 22 and then verse 14. It says, "And when the hour was come, He sat down and the 12 apostles with Him," including the traitor Judas. We know that. And then He says what He does in verse 15. He desires to eat the Passover with them. When I was not saved, before I was saved, God, number one, desired to save me. But His desire to save me also included to fellowship with me. God didn't just wait till I got saved and then after that, I guess everything's okay. No, He wanted to save me when I was not saved so that I can have fellowship with Him. He has always desired to save all of humanity and He has always desired to have fellowship with all of humanity. Sadly, too many, like Judas, they spurn the offer and Judas betrayed Him anyway. I mean, we know what happened, okay? But that is, as far as what God wants, He desires fellowship. He really, really desires fellowship. I try to think of it this way. Salvation is more than just a ticket to heaven. It's about entering a relationship with God. It's not just about, hey, I get to go to heaven. All right. No, it's a relationship with God and a fellowship with God. It's more than just, you know, I don't know, like getting to go to a Packer game. I might go to a Packer game and have the ticket to go in, but I don't have any, I don't fellowship with the Packers, right? I have no relationship with them. I have no fellowship with them. And, you know, getting saved is like becoming a Packer. All of a sudden I'm on the field. Like, oh, hey, hey. And we're on the same team, right? And we're playing together. I mean, that I want us to understand, when we get saved, it's not just a shifting of presence. Earth to heaven. It is a permanent relationship that is expressed in continual fellowship. And then number three, I want us to observe the last thing that Jesus desired for Himself. Now He said, "With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you." And then He says what? "Before I suffer." So before He dies, right? Before He's crucified. That's pretty amazing. It signifies a couple of things, at least to me. Two things. Number one, the significance of this event. This is really his last meal, if you will, before his death. But also the final Passover feast that He's observing with His disciples right now before He will fulfill the Passover. Jesus is our Passover lamb. And for generations, they've been observing the Passover. Every single year, the Jews would faithfully observe the Passover. Now, this is the final one. This is the Passover, the end-all Passover. It's because Jesus, he's shortly after going to be arrested, he's going to be crucified, and he's going to die. But he's going to fulfill the Passover. He's going to fulfill the law. He's our Passover lamb. After this, there'll be no more need to observe the Passover. This is the last one, okay? And this is the sacrifice. He is the sacrifice to end all sacrifices. This is the last thing that will happen before Jesus says on the cross, it is finished. And so the significance of this event. But number two, the priority of this, you know, this fellowship over other things. Now, what would you do, I think of myself, what would I do if we knew we only had one more day to live? What would we do? Now, of course, we can say we can witness. That's valid, okay? But as far as what I'm saying, as what we would want. If I knew that, I don't know, tomorrow I'm going to drop dead of a heart attack, tonight I would love to spend some family time. I would love to have fellowship with my family. Jesus knew He was going to be crucified. He wasn't going to not get crucified. I mean, that's the plan. He's going to go through with it. He asked God if it, He's going to drink the cup. He knows that. But what He desires one last time is fellowship with His disciples. If I knew that I was going to die, I would want fellowship with my family. just maybe I'll just do a big sleepover in our room. just hang on tight. I would charge them. I would challenge them. Say, love one another. Don't fight. You know, and be together. And I'm okay. Okay, I'll wait for you. Or whatever. I want to spend time with my family. Think of it this way. What do you miss most when a loved one has passed away? My dad. I miss praying with him. That's the fellowship. The relationship with my dad hasn't changed. He's still my dad. I'm still his son. But we have no fellowship because he's dead. I'm just saying, okay? I think of my wife, Sister Kitty. When Madeline was alive, I believe pretty much every day they would speak to Mom. I know they miss Mom. Relationship hasn't changed. But you miss the fellowship. Brother Dick, Sister Kathy, Sister Viola, those that have gone before us. Relationship hasn't changed. Brother in Christ, sister in Christ, same thing. But we miss the fellowship. And what we miss most is exactly what Jesus wants while we are still alive, to give that to him. He wants that fellowship. I mean, this is huge. And how does this apply to New Testament believers? Because we weren't there. Well, like I shared before, Jesus prayed for us, John 17 as well, you know, extends to us that way. But by act of communion, by partaking of the Lord's table, it pictures, among other things, yes, prayer is fellowship with God as well, don't get me wrong. But it's wonderful when we partake in the Lord's table. This is a live fellowship with God. I mean, it is so amazing. Let's look at, again, chapter 22 of Luke. Look at verse 19. Stay faithful. As we partake of the Lord's table in a little bit here, it pictures the love that Jesus has for us. Yes, his sacrifice, but his desire to fellowship with you and I. So let's go to verse 19. It says, and he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave unto them. Now this is huge. Don't miss this. Who broke the bread? Jesus broke the bread. He didn't give it to Peter and like that. Peter just going to break it up, pass it up. No, he didn't say that. Jesus broke the bread. Because Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice, the ultimate Lamb of God. No other animal sacrificed in the Bible ever willingly died. They were killed. I'm going to assume they didn't want to die. Okay, I'm just saying. But Jesus, he broke the bread. Because it's a voluntary act of sacrifice. Every other sacrifice was against the will of that being sacrificed. Okay, Jesus broke it. The disciples didn't break it. God broke it. Jesus broke it. And then he poured out the cup, okay? This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise, so like he broke the bread, he poured the cup. Likewise, also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood which is shed for you. It's a voluntary act of self-sacrifice. That's what Jesus did. Partaking in the Lord's Supper, of course, it looks, you know, we go through these verses every time. It looks back, it looks forward. To when Jesus will come back. But don't miss this. There is also a implied truth in between that. Okay, so let's go to 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11. And then verse 26. And as always, this our go-to verse. Verse 26 tells us, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death. And so this is historically looking back to when Jesus, his body was broken, his blood was shed for us, his sacrifice on the cross. And so that looks back historically, but it looks also to the future, till he come. And that is a wonderful promise of Jesus' return. Amen. But don't miss this implied present truth in between the past and the future. And that truth is that Jesus rose from the dead. I mean, that's obviously he's going to rise to come back. I mean, the idea is he died for us. He's going to come back. So the implied present truth in between that is that he rose from the dead. And because he rose from the dead, we can have present fellowship with him. Okay? He's alive. Just as though if God were to miraculously raise my dad from the dead, like Lazarus, relationship hasn't changed. But if God rose back my dad from the dead, like, oh, dad! Oh, hey, how's it going? Sorry you had to leave heaven. Okay, but now you're down here, I get to chit-chat, we get to fellow, you know what I'm saying? And so the fact that it's life from death shows fellowship. I mean, that is an amazing, amazing truth. So back to the main question, did Jesus ever desire anything for himself? Well, yes. But of all the things he could have desired, he desires, present tense, fellowship with you and I. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Abba, Father, what an awesome thought that we have this permanent relationship with you, Father, through Jesus Christ. But that you also desire fellowship beyond that relationship, Lord. What an amazing, I still can't wrap my mind around this truth, Lord, to think that you would want to fellowship with me, fellowship with us. Lord, you picture that in the peace offerings of Old Testament Israel. What an amazing God you are. So, Father, thank you for this invitation. Thank you for this calling. And thank you for this privilege. And bless now the time of the partaking of the Lord's table. May we do it with thankful hearts. And may we, you know, be confessed up, Lord, that there be no barrier between us. We thank you for the eternal relationship. But help us to always have a strong and tender fellowship with you. And we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.